Here we go with a little bit of Fat Guy Radio Show.
The hottest t-shirts to hit the internet online now. Fat Guy Radio Show swag merch store at fatguyradioshow.com/store. T-shirt styles and designs for everyone. Show your love for the show or rock a killer swanky new tee designed by us. Visit fatguyradioshow.com/store. Starting at just $19.99. Choose your size and color, then buy it now to order. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Shipping worldwide. Order today as supplies are limited. The Fat Guy Radio Show swag merch store. Open now at fatguyradioshow.com/store.
It's Fat Guy Radio Show.
Welcome to Fat Guy Radio Show. It's your boy, Corey Blaze. You're probably wondering, what? Another show? This isn't a Thursday night show. You're absolutely right. It's not a Thursday night show because it's a special mini series called Fat and Furloughed, with me hanging out with a couple of my very good friends, people that are close to me, people that are very important to me. And the one that's joining me on the show today to kick this whole mini series off is my good friend, the one, the only, Maggie Rasko. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Corey. How are you?
I'm good. You have this look on your face like we've started this thing twice.
Well, don't tell anybody. This is the first take.
It's radio magic. How are you, my love?
You know, I've been doing okay. I've been, you know, trying to transition to our new world. You know, things have been as best they can be, I guess.
Yeah, well,
is what I'll say.
Well, we'll get into it a little bit further in the show. And I know that I've got some surprises up my sleeve for you. So just because I love you so much, we haven't seen each other like face to face in quite some time, though.
It has been.
And we've known too long. We've known each other for, good Lord, we don't even want to count
time.
A long time ago.
Right.
I think I was like almost fresh out of high school.
Yeah, I believe you were.
So I want to say maybe about 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly. I was thinking more like three.
3 years more like ago? Three. Yeah.
Yeah.
According to my maturity level, that may be pretty accurate. Well, folks, I've known Maggie Rasko, also known as Margo. She's going to have many, many different little nicknames because when you've been friends as long as we have been friends, you just come up with all kind of nicknames. I've been Corito Blazito, some of the nicknames that have come
Cali
out.
Blaze.
Cody Blaze. Yeah, always foreign and stuff like that. But I want to introduce you guys to my good friend, Margo. And we're going to do that, Margo. We're going to start the show right here, Fat and Furlough, ladies and gentlemen, right here on FatGuyRadioShow.com. And furloughed because I literally am fat and I've been furloughed. Thank you, COVID, mother effing 19. Oh my gosh.
I don't call that fat. I refer to use the word fluffy.
Okay. You know what? I think you're the one that I adopted that word from.
Probably.
Yeah, because when I look in the mirror, I don't see fluffy because, you know, I see my teddy bears and they're fluffy. They're cute. They're cuddly. Their eyes are real hard. And then
so are you.
Oh, gee.
Look at you. Oh, look at that face.
I got the face for radio.
Oh, you got a beautiful face. Stop it.
Maggie and I have been friends forever and we have been through the ringer in life. And if there is anybody that if my little blip of fame ever got any larger, Maggie would be the one that I would put in a cast iron skillet to keep quiet, because you know way too much.
I don't know nothing. Matter of fact, I don't even know who you are. Who are you?
Let's go back to the beginning. Me and you. Let's go back to the beginning. If my memory serves me right, it was an American Express call center where we first, our lives first crossed paths. Is that true? Was it then or was it before that?
No, it was there. It wasn't actually, we didn't work for American Express. We were a, we were servicing American Express, but we worked for another company.
Oh, so it was a vendor of, it was a vendor with an American Express product.
Correct.
Is what we were doing. And that was, and it was a call center. So it was like, I was really breaking into the world of corporate America.
Correct.
At the time, and didn't have no clue what the hell that I was doing. No clue what was going on. But then there was this woman that had this smile that lit up the room that literally took me under her wings. And you're responsible for a lot of my success today because you, I don't know what it was, but you just, you took me and you molded me into understanding how, you know, office politics works, how corporate America works and dealing with upper management and lower management. That was a lot from that came from you.
Wow.
You hit me over my head with stupid things that I was doing. You made me, you taught me to realize that some of the things that I was trying to do was childish, you know, that I had to be adult about certain things that adult about decisions that I was making at that time, even though I was a young kid. And through all of the crap that the greenhornish, if you will, with coming into a corporate environment, you plucked all that out and you didn't just mold me to be a corporate person. You molded me in love. And that was the one thing that I've always walked away from working with you is that you loved, and you just didn't love hard on me. You loved hard on everyone that was in that office. I think that office had, what, 250 people, maybe 300 people at one time?
At one time, I believe so, yeah.
You know, so we met there, and that's kind of like where it grew. And while we were there, there were some very interesting people that we met.
Yes. A lot of characters.
a lot of characters. When people don't, and Arizona's big on call centers. Right. So when you have a open space with hundreds of people in it, you're going to have the crazies, the nut jobs, the wackadoos, and then the relationships. I believe we had one of the upper management marry one of the secretaries or something like that, or that started a relationship. We had a situation where an employee was being chased to work by an ex-lover and was having to hide out. Do you remember all this crazy stuff?
I do. Wow.
I'm tearing some people's drawers right now. I'm spilling some beans. But it was where? What was your first impression of me when we sat in that? I remember it being a wood paneled conference room.
When you came to your interview?
Yeah.
You know, there was something about you. You just had this warmness in your, you talk about my smile, it was your smile, actually. And you were just fun. I've never had a conversation with someone that I just met that felt like I'd known them, you know, for a while. And you were very, very easy to talk to. And the interview with you was not an interview at all. We were just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's the best, you know, those are the best conversations to have in determining if this is someone that you want to have work for you, if you want to invest in, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's literally what I felt you did. I felt that you invested in someone that I was young and I didn't know my own self-worth at that time.
You actually didn't, because you were so young to start with, but all you needed was somebody to just pour into you, but you got to be open, you know, for someone to pour into you. So with that, you listened on top of everything else. So, you know, no one, you know, wants to keep trying to impart things into an individual that's really not interested. They're just there for a paycheck and, you know, get my check and go home. But everything that I attempted to instill in you, you grabbed onto it.
Yeah.
You know, so it was easy. You know, you made it easy.
So our relationship, our business ship grew into a friendship. And friendships grew into hanging out outside of the office.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be an inside joke, but and Margo, I can see it in your face. You know where I'm going with this. I'm going to say one phrase and Margo will lose it. And then Margo, you, when you regain it, you're going to have to share the story. Okay. They done shot my donut.
That was one of many. That was one of many. Oh my goodness. By this time, I think we had been working, you know, together for about a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the relationship had grown, you know, although you're not supposed to have relationships with, you know, people that you work with. There was just something, you know, even our boss at that time, you know, saw what you had. You were special. It didn't take long for you to get into management. So
that's true.
You know, somewhere along the line, you kind of advanced into a position. So it made it to where we weren't doing anything wrong. So,
yeah.
But one of the times that we spent together, one of many that was so fun, we spent so much time laughing.
Yes.
That's why looking at you right now, you know, I'm having a hard time keeping a straight face and being serious, because most of the time when we speak to each other, you know, there's going to be, you know, one of two emotions going on. We're going to be laughing or we're going to be crying.
And
it was New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
And when I tell you I lived in the hood, I lived in the hood.
Okay.
So, you know, and yourself, of course, with your bougie, you always lived in like...
bougie?
You always lived in like the nicer side of town. Well, right, me, right. You know, at the time, I didn't live in a bad place. I did live in the hood. Uh-huh. But my... is that...
She spoiled the surprise.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
Bad Guy Radio Show.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn the volume up again, Corey and the guys are back with more.
Fat and Furlough.
Surprise.
Oh, God.
Hi, yay.
Mom, you not only didn't follow the instructions, but you brought the entire show to a stop.
Hey, she's a showstopper. She always has been.
Literally, she has been a showstopper. My God in heaven, Lord Jesus, blessed be thy name.
Oh
my God.
Well,
oh
my God. I don't know whether or not I'm going to leave all that in or not, but we'll see.
This is too funny. Oh man.
So we just see you, Ma. What we see on my end is we just see you flailing your hands around, and I knew you was cussing. I knew you was cussing.
Yeah, oh. I had a few choice words. Not to be repeated on this broadcast, but I had a few choice words. So how have you been, young lady? What have you been doing?
You know what? Working. Just been working and trying to live, you know, doing the best I can. I never realized how much of a social butterfly that I was. I thought I was like a homebody and everything, but until you get shut in, you never realize how much you miss people. And I do.
Now, Mom, were you hearing the first part of our conversation at all? You didn't hear any of that? Okay, so I think this would be a good reset. I think, Margo, we should hit the jingle one more time. I just want to hear it again.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You want to hear let's just hit the jingle one more time.
Let's hit the jingle.
A little quick reset, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fat and Furloughed on FatGuyRadioShow.com.
Fat and Furloughed.
Yay. And Furlough. There we go.
Yay! Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Fat and Furloughed. My special guest to my friend Maggie is my mom, Bonita Baldwin Davis Rodriguez Sanchez Martinez Louise Lewis Johnson Smith.
Stop it.
I've been married that many times.
I don't know. I got to pull up the spreadsheet, Mom.
Yeah, right? So,
Margo,
ain't nothing wrong with that. Just got to get it right.
I mentioned to you that I had a surprise for you, and Bonita is the surprise for you because it's been so long that since all three of us have really shared the same space. Over the years, and there was a time where we were thick as thieves.
Yeah.
And I'm not to take the energy out of the call, but we are missing a fourth person that, you know, we lost several years ago, and that's Grammy Oli, and we all love her and we all miss her. But I wanted to, on this Fat and Furlough mini series that I'm doing for Fat Guy Radio Show, I had to have you two together. You two had to kick this whole thing off. And Mom, before you joined the call, very abruptly, I might say.
you're just never going to let that go, are you?
No,
you're just
I'm
never
going
to let that go.
She's always made a grand entrance.
That time,
oh, my God.
She's a diva.
This time she broke the internet when she did. She was like, you know what, son? I don't care about nothing you got going
That's
on.
Right.
I'm
That's
ready
right.
to come into the show. Screw what you got going on, hell.
I couldn't hear. And you know what I was afraid of? Because I kept looking at the clock and I'm like, he said 30 minutes and it got to be 6:15. Now, you know how we do with time as it is. So I'm like, oh, no. So we're doing some black people stuff here right now.
We're going to need to be on time. Yeah.
But Mom, I'm like, oh, no. But Mom,
I told you when we talked this morning, or I'm not. I'm sorry. I didn't say I told you. When I was mentioning to you this morning, I mentioned that I'm going to spend the first half with Margo, send you a text message, and have you connect. But then you could connect to the audio portion. See, that look on your face says you knew that's what you were supposed
no,
to do.
No, I did not hear anything about the text. I am being brutally honest right now. You know, I was at work. I'm working from home. There was a lot going on. I didn't even hear the part about the text. All I knew, Margo, was that I wanted to hear. And I couldn't hear. And I'm like, am I supposed to be sitting here like this? You know, because after a while, I get up and do some laundry in here and get the water up, cooking dinner. Y'all be bam,
that's
bam.
Right.
So what am I supposed to do? I'm like, well, I don't want to be rude, but I don't want to, you know, okay. like not.
You don't want to be rude, but you. You bulldozed the whole damn show.
You know what? It is what it is. Carry on.
It was beautiful. I love it. You couldn't have screamed at this better. This is why you. This is, ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing and what you're hearing is literally what our friendships have been for many, 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 many years. Just loads and loads of laughter. And Mom, before you came in and heart attacked the show, Margo was about to share a story on one evening that her and I were hanging out. I think it was either 4th of July or New Year's, Margo, wasn't it?
It was New Year's. Yeah, it was New Year's.
And there was a very funny instance that happened. And Margo, if you wouldn't mind, continue, because I don't even know, Mom, if you are familiar with this story or not.
You know, I don't know. I can't remember if the two incidents, the donut incident on the same night as the car wash?
You know what? That's a very good question. I think it might be because we were cruising at first and then went back to your place where you were living in the ghetto. And she was living in the ghetto at the time. We ain't always been rich.
Well, it is what it is. But so what I was saying is that, you know, Corey's always been a bit bougie anyway.
Yes, he has. Mom. Yes, he has. Mom. Yeah. Living up there on Union Hills. She is not lying to you. Egypt. And you got to go away of Underground Railroad to get to his place. He wasn't staying nowhere in the city, boo boo. It had to be way up north somewhere. I don't think that has changed, has it?
No, it hasn't, because I'm even further than Union Hills now. Thank you.
See, I'm gonna do this PG because I get to act it up. I'm gonna let that go. I'm so gonna let that go right now. Y'all ain't gonna catch me up today. So go on and tell your story about the donuts and the car wash.
All I say is New Year's Eve in the hood. So, as you can imagine, at a certain hour, you want to sit on the ground. You want to be close to the ground.
That's right.
And the house that I lived in had a big, one of those big picture windows in the front. That was, the window was extra low and it was a really big window. So it was a nice house. It was just in the hood. So he and I are decided we're going to bring in New Year's together. So we go and we get our little cocktails and we're doing our thing and listening to our music and having a good old time. You know how we always do. We get together and we sing and all that. So next thing we know, we lost track of time. Next thing you know, we're sitting there, we're drinking. No, we were sitting in the chair then, we're drinking, and then here goes the shooting.
Yeah.
First gun shot, he falls on the ground. He goes on the ground, and he rolls under the table.
Oh, my God.
Barrel rolling. And then
he wants to go and look at his car. He's looking out the window saying somebody shot his car because he had a donut on his car. He had the donut tire on because he had a flat. So he's like, somebody shot my donut.
And then it was the end of the world for me. I believe now there were some libations that were flowing.
I'm not surprised.
At the time, there was some libations flowing, and so it was a little traumatic.
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking about that right now, and I don't know if it was just funnier because of the libations.
I don't know.
It might have been because
The thing is that there was no rules when any of us were in the same room. There was never any rules.
Speaking of which, do you remember the time we went to a restaurant? I don't remember a lot about a lot. But I will never, ever, ever forget this as long as I live.
I know where you're going.
You know exactly where I'm going. We, the three of us, were out one night. I don't remember where we went or what was going on. And we went to this restaurant, and the restaurant was crowded. And it might have been a Denny's or something. I think we wanted to get breakfast or something like that, but it was late night.
I'm thinking Texas Roadhouse for some reason.
Let's not talk about that fallout. But we were sitting at the table. And for some reason, we were talking about something and we got to talking about relationships. And I asked the question, I said, so how come the two of you never got together? And you, Margo, made the statement, oh, no, we'd never be together. Can you imagine two fat people in the bed? That's like frying bacon. Y'all be having sex. We said, could you imagine having sex?
We need two forklifts just to maneuver. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It smells like bacon in the room. That is not.
And a team of little Chinese people in there to lift every orifice and arm flap.
It's not, the logistics just wouldn't work. Everybody knows big girls have to be with little guys. Got to be able to maneuver them around.
And everybody knows that big guys have to be with themselves. What? I'm sorry.
Wait, what?
What day is it? Where's Pauline?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I will never forget that. I know we screamed because it was like, girl, could you imagine us there coming together? Be smelling like bacon going on.
Wait. Oh my God. Yeah. It was like.
What is the one that the time where I got the bill? And passed out from getting the bill.
When you took me to Texas, you came by the house to get me. I was with grandma and you came to get me. Margo, we've been looking for this ice cream for damn near 15 years. I still ain't found the ice with Dairy Queen. He's been taking me to Dairy Queen for 15 years.
We've been looking for it for 15 years. Ain't never found it.
He's like, come on, Mom, we're going to Dairy Queen. So I'm getting in the thing. I'm like, Dairy Queen was right down the street because we were right there off of Camelback and 27th Avenue. He done passed that. I'm not saying nothing. I'm like, okay. Okay. We get to Texas Roadhouse. It's just me and him. We're sitting there. We're having, I guess, lunch. It was a beautiful time. Girl, they bought the check. This fool got to act it out. They didn't bought the check. She sent a check and he do just like this. Hold on. Somebody fanned me. Every time he pick up the check, the lady came to get the check. It took him 5 minutes to take his credit card out of his pocket. So every time he looked, he just fall out. He fall out, slide down a thing like this. I said, oh my God, what an embarrassment.
Oh my gosh. all that, and you want to live in, you want to be bougie and live, you know, way up north at the time, that was the place, you know, up north was the you know.
So y'all saying, you know, y'all saying I've been bougie for as long as y'all been knowing me too?
You yes. told me that you didn't want to live in the black neighborhoods. You wanted to live in the white neighborhoods, and that's where you was going to live, and that's exactly what you've done.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds that, and I do, and I love being the only spot in my neighborhood up here. And they're all old, and they're older people, you know. They're more experienced individuals, I should say.
There you go.
Yeah, and, keep on. They look out. You know, they, I don't know if they're looking out for me or if they're just watching me, but whatever it is, I like it.
Just naive as ever can be.
Secret neighborhood watch. They got a secret neighborhood watch up there. It's like, uh-oh, there he goes. Wait. He passed the house. Now, what's he passing his house for? Girl, you better call Gertrude and find out what's going on, because you know Hazel's down the street watching. They documenting when you leave, when you come in, how many people you got with you. And if you don't have no people, you know, he don't ever have nobody over his house. I wonder what's going on in his house.
Hazel ain't even been home. She's been with her family in Wisconsin the whole summer.
Now, how do you know where Hazel's been awesome? Margot, all I know is that I used to love coming to your house when it would be me, you, Oli, Corey, and you would always invite us up, and we'd come up for the weekend sometimes and just the food. Have fun. And just have fun. And we could crash out and sleep and get up the next day and it'd be peaceful and restful. And I just want to thank you for that. I miss that.
I do too, but let me tell you what my favorite time was, when we go and do karaoke.
Yes.
Oh, there
those
she go.
Karaoke with Bended Knee and Bonita. Ugh. Made me cry every time.
And then I believe what was Margot's? Margot, you did that one song by that lady I can never remember. Tina something. Oh,
no, you're talking about Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor.
No, yes. You did that one, but there was another one by like Tina Marie or something.
Shoot.
What was the name of that song?
It was the song. How can I go blank?
I don't know, but you have done it. You did it so flawlessly, and you did it. We went on a karaoke
good
tour.
Or bad, happy or sad. Wow.
No, that's Let's Get Together.
No,
yeah, that's
that
the one I used to sing.
By Tina Marie?
Sure? No, you said Tina Marie.
Yeah.
I was thinking Tina Turner for some reason. Mm-mm. Man, Tina is my girl. It wouldn't even matter. I love all Tina songs.
Right?
Yeah, you threw down a Tina Marie song.
I'm trying to think what that was.
We blew up the bowling alley on 19th Avenue and Bethany Home Road.
We did.
We brought that house down with my number was New York, New York, and I took it to church.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay. Yes.
Spreading the news.
He was something else.
No. We took New York, New York and had church with it.
Yeah, we did.
And then
Mom would sit there and would be singing anything. The ABCs.
It didn't even matter. Yeah, the ABCs. She and then you broke down. Crying.
Always Stevie Wonder. Don't you worry about a thing.
That's
what I would always
say. You know what?
With.
I don't think I ever heard you sing that, but I just I can't get past Bended Knee.
Oh,
that you sing that song every time. You have me in tears.
Yeah, you have the whole room in tears. People put their drinks down, stop everything. If we went on a karaoke tour at one point. Yeah. We were going to other different restaurants and bars and places and just going in there, sitting in the corner. And then when our numbers was called up, we come out and put on a concert.
Remember we used to go to Gallagher's on, what was it? Gallagher's on Camelback. Yeah. Was it 16th Street? 24th Street? 16th Street. Somewhere over there.
16th Street.
Oh man. Those were good. Those were good old days.
Those were the day. And we won a karaoke contest and we just go out there. And then Mom, she's so holy and sanctified. She get up there and start singing with the karaoke, talking about whatever secular song there is. Nah, your audio and connection is still there.
Sorry.
And then before you know it, she having church in the parking lot by herself, pew of one, and didn't care. Okay. And you know what? We didn't care either. It was just something that just happened because we were There was just so much joy and love and happiness amongst us. We've cried together. We've held each other through relationships.
Precious Lord. Jesus, hallelujah.
Through relationships. That's a whole nother show.
Just stuck on stupid.
Were we not? We were all done.
We look back at that stuff now and do like, have y'all, so I used to journal all the time. And it's, from time to time, I go back and pull out the journals. And I read. And I'm like, what in the world was wrong with me?
But you know what? I look at it like this. We had to go through those moments in order to get to where we are today. Because if we didn't go through that, we wouldn't be who we are today through some of those situations. Some of those situations were hurtful and painful. They were broken. But when you break, there's things that fall off of you. You know, that's the way that I look at it, Margo. You're kind of rolling your eyes a little bit.
I was thinking I'm still fat and lonely. So
me too. Me too.
Well, some of it was fun. I mean, you know, think about it. We got into these things because there was something about it that drew us. There's something about the individual that we were attracted to. I mean, I had a thing for the bad boys who just, I don't know, the pretty boys who lied and cheated and continued to cheat and Oli, oh my God, I miss her so much. But she was my one constant. You know what I'm saying? So it would just be, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to this. This is not going to this. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. This is that, the other. And I have to give it to her. She wasn't wrong. She honestly wasn't wrong, you know? And so I think about her a lot of times, especially with us here now, and she would be the one driving us to the karaoke places. Remember, she would get the papers and be looking for places, and I'd be wanting to rest on Friday night, and she's like, "Oh no, 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 no! I found this, and she would be the driver, so to speak, and couldn't sing her way out of a paper bag. But oh man,
she was our karaoke pimp. She really pimped us out on where we were supposed to go, and if we got up there and we didn't perform properly, she has something to say. Don't sing that song no more. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't do that no more.
Yeah, just go ahead. You know, you tried your best, but no, that didn't work.
Yeah, don't do that. Oh,
and she was brutally honest.
Yes.
Yes, she was. And she'd tell you, and when you win, I get my cut. She was going to get her cut. She would walk around, I'm the manager.
She wasn't the manager. Wow. She was the boss and the dictator. Yeah. And the dictator. Because if we didn't do what she said to do, she was going to have something to say about it, you know. But we survived by leaning on each other at the times. And then here's a funny, this is what's really interesting about our friendship. We would go some time without connecting with each other.
Yeah.
But when we did reconnect, it was always at a very, very important time.
Yeah.
Like it would be something that I would be going through and Margo would just call out of the blue and would be there right at the moment it needed to happen and have the words and the wisdom to share in that moment for that moment. And the same thing with Mom Bonita. It never failed. No matter how much time had passed, the moment we reconnect, just like in this moment right now, it seems like all of those years have fallen away. That it's like we are all just like the time just never. And Mom's getting emotional about this because it's so true. It is 100% true. And what we're experiencing, what you're seeing right now and what you're feeling is the true 100% love that really is some may say, you know, if you believe in that, some may say it's a spiritual connection, it's a heavenly connection, whatever, you know, people may classify it as. That's what is being expressed right now on this show. But just the three of us, and I know that I feel the presence of Oli. Where she's just smiling because this is something that she always angled for. This is something that she always pushed for, was bringing us together. Even when there were parts of us, parts of the group that maybe shouldn't have been part of the group. We'll leave some of those names out. Lord Jesus.
So let's get that list. We're not going to call you out right now.
But the thing is it's the togetherness. You know what I mean? It's the togetherness. Yeah. And no matter where we've gone in our life, where we were all singing at one point and then we all, you know, went our little separate ways. And then I went from the music thing and one thing that's very important that both of you have been involved in my life is through my gospel music career.
Some of the best times of my life.
Some of the amazing times. And a lot of people, a lot of the fans and listenership of Fat Guy Radio Show, they don't get exposed to a lot of my gospel career at the time and touring with Mom, you're going to get ready for this. The Voices of Wonder.
Cletus, Cletus, I need you to come on, Cletus. I need you to come on out here, Cletus.
And then touring with Timothy Travail, Timothy Garner and the Travails, and doing a lot of the music. And then Margo, you introduced me to the church where I ended up meeting Joy, our mutual friend Joy, and I became the minister of music at that church.
Right.
And was there for quite some time.
Hey, don't turn on the fan, please.
You know what? Yeah, Mom. Just because you take the headphones off, don't mean the show ain't throwing on.
God, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Babe, would you mind making sure the laptop is turned on? Now?
Can you start the washer,
honey? Honey, start the washer. What? I said start the washer.
God.
I thought if I took them off, nobody would hear me.
I said start the washer. Hell, why can't you hear? What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God, for nothing some months. I'm bad. Mom, we can still hear everything that's going on.
Oh, my God. I got a lot to learn about this. I'm not good at this. I'm sorry. Just kidding. I'm like, here, let me take these out and yell for my husband.
Let me take these out. Somehow, when you take these off, the show pauses.
Whatever.
Well, I just didn't think you'd hear me. I'm like, oh, let me just.
Totally lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry. I'm sitting here sweating. I'm so sorry.
I am too as hot. You know, I ain't pretty in person. A whole lot of lights and stuff on me right now. You know I can't do it like that. Stole all kind of equipment.
He has not changed one bit. What? He has not changed one bit. One bit.
Music, just absolutely the same.
The music years, Mom, Margo, you were there through the music years. We came across some people that will remain nameless on the show that were blessings and curses to our lives.
Yeah,
I'll stress more of the curses, but you go right ahead with that if you want to.
Well, you have to find there's a blessing in every curse. Depends on how you look at it. So.
I agree.
And okay.
This particular person definitely,
had some issues. We'll just say.
Yeah, I'm trying.
But don't we all?
We do. We all do. None of us are perfect. I'm sure as hell not perfect. Yeah. You know.
And this particular person got married. And I was working with this particular person's stepdaughter, where I'm employed now. And
really?
Let me tell you a real funny, quick story without naming names. So, you know, I'm working. And then comes this child. That's what I call. And I guess she had been like, you know, we talked a little bit because she's young, whatever. And so one day she comes in and she says, your name's Benita, right? I said, yeah. And she goes, do you sing? I said, sometimes. And she goes, do you know bleep? And I went, now, I was not. Lord Jesus. The first thing out of my mouth was not the nicest thing out of my mouth. Let's just put it like that. So she was like, she said, so do you know? And I said, oh, that ratchet, scandalous, stank, whoopty, whoop, wop, wop, wrong, too wrong, whoop, this, need Jesus seven times over. And she sat there and look, her eyes got real big. And then I realized what I was saying. And I said, why do you ask? Oh, hey, that's my stepdad. I said, say what? Yeah, he married her mother. And she's like, oh, he's doing good now. Got the church and the parishioners.
The parishioners.
The last time I checked them parishioners, there was no males in the congregations. And this is why we had an issue. So you say what you want to say. I'm going to stick to what I know. And then she goes, how do you know him? Corey? Margo?
Oh, no, don't say my name. Don't put that on me. Don't say that. Don't say my name. You need to undo that and don't say my name. Say my name. No one is around you.
Uh-uh. I said, I went,
How did he tell you he knows me is the question.
So, and that's what I asked before I said anything. I said, so how did he tell you that he knows me? Oh, he said that you was one of his members.
Oh, Lord Jesus. You gonna make me go to my preach.
You gonna make me go to my preach.
He told you, he said that you was one of his members.
I was one of his members. And I looked at her, I said, you just messed up. Hey now, I said, you just messed up. I don't mess around now. That man didn't do me right.
Didn't do her right.
I had to run on and find my way. So anyway, yes sir.
He ain't right.
When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for setting me free.
That's worth the price of admission, folks. I don't care what you say.
Jesus.
Woo.
So when I finally told her, she was floored. Like, she cried. And I told her the truth. And she was like, wait a minute. I said, yeah, that's how we know each other. And I said, and I thank God that I got away when I did. Because Corey, you're very...
Yeah, don't put this on me. I was behind the keyboard. I was playing, and that's all that I was supposed to do. That was it. That's all y'all asked me to do was come out there and play the keyboard and produce music. That's it. Don't put this on me.
You're not innocent. You were not innocent of that. You were not innocent at all. Was he, Margo?
According to the rules that I had made up in my own mind, I was innocent.
Moving on. Moving on.
You see what I say? I said I was in it.
He said, do you see my face?
You see my face? Look at my face. I said I was innocent.
Margo's still like, I have nothing to do with this. So yeah, there's been some
moving on.
Some blessings in those relationships.
Moving
yes.
on. Moving on.
But we could sit here and literally talk, bring up some stories that have us all suicidal in the next 15 minutes. But it's just another testament to how beautiful of a friendship we've had for so long. It's our bonus show. What a wonderful way to get the free show each and every day. When you buy the bonus show, we can stay on the air. Less than coffee. No, it's not free. Buy the bonus show. See, when you support us by purchasing the bonus show at fatguyradioshow.com/afterburn, you help keep the weekly shows free and the show can grow so you get more. Go buy the bonus show. So go buy the bonus show. FatGuyRadioShow.com/afterburn.
This is Fat Guy Radio Show with Corey Blaze on FatGuyRadioShow.com.
Fat and Furlough.
Before we wrap this up, we'll start with you, Margot. What's the most memorable or something that comes to mind that involved all of us?
So much. I always just think I go back to the karaoke. Mm-hmm. We would go out to, you know, to hit up the karaoke spots, and I loved it. We had so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, just so much time's passed by, but you know, just like here we are today, all still together. And like I said, I'm going to say one of us is not here in her body, but she's here, you know, she's here with us. Yes, she is.
I agree.
And gosh, as long as we still have all these memories, she's never going to be gone. So
that's right.
I don't know. Gosh, it's good to see you guys. It takes me back.
You too.
It takes me back.
You too. You too. I never thought that we would be here, you know, so many years later. And so I'm grateful. I'm sitting here looking at both of you, and I'm going to cry like a baby when I'm done. But God is good. And God has been good to us. He's been good to us. And so, yeah.
Even when we didn't deserve it.
That's right.
And still especially don't. When we didn't deserve it.
You know, and, the thing is that people can see, and that's what I wanted. That's why I really wanted to do this Fat and Furlough thing, because I've been furloughed off of my numbers job. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to sit back and be depressed and broken and sad sitting in my home. I'm going to do something that I love to do, which is radio. And I'm going to involve people that I love into something that I love. I'm going to make this, you know, the best of this moment, which is really a response to our friendships, where we really all the time made the best of whatever every moment that we had, you know. Time has gone on, and we've all gone our separate ways in some points, but it's just, you know, if I wasn't hosting this show and this wasn't a show right now, I'd probably be bawling in tears myself right now. But it's such a testament to how when people come into your life, they come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I believe that what I'm looking at right now on this monitor are lifetimes. And
I agree.
And I hope into the next lifetime, you know, we just continue to see each other. And I know the first thing we're going to say to everybody when we see each other on the other side is, hey, you made it.
You know what? I'm going to say I knew you'd make it.
Oh, that's right. I knew you'd make it.
See,
yes, Lord.
I'm going to owe a whole lot of people $5. But here's the thing.
Oh, man.
So, Mom, what is a good moment that you remember with either all three of us, all four of us, or all six of us?
We'll stick to the three and four. Let's not get happy. Thank you. One of my favorites, so besides the karaoke, was that when Margot, when you opened up your home to us, and you never questioned. And when we said we just needed a place to go or to get away, your door was always open. And I remember, like this is getting really crazy. I remember the times when we sat at your table and we would just talk, you know, just talk. I could be going through a bad moment. And let me tell you something. Back then, 8 times out of 10, I was going through a bad moment because I was still in my addiction. I was still doing crazy stuff. And you never judged me for that. You just... You took me and you embraced me and you just loved on me. You've always loved on me. And so that round table that sat in that kitchen, and I will never forget it, with those chairs, and we would sit there sometimes for just hours and just talk. So
you're talking about that house with that orange countertop, aren't you?
Yep.
That house. Yep. That house.
Man, those countertops were ugly.
I know. Okay,
I like the countertop. Now, mind you, where I was living, so I thought that you guys lived in palaces versus where I was back then. So, like, this is really bittersweet for me right now to be here. How many years has it been? Because we've known each other since, 98?
We don't know.
2008, 2018, like 20 years. This is actually 20 that years sitting here right now. 20 years. Yeah. I met you. Yeah. I met Corey in 98. I met you in 99. So it's like 20 years right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
won't he do it?
The moments around Margo's table and the food and the cookouts and and you talked about places that we lived. Downtown Glendale.
On
45th Avenue.
Now that was the hood.
That was the hood.
Corey and Belinda lived upstairs. You lived downstairs.
Yep, I lived downstairs. One bedroom apartment. Condos. The place was full of cigarette smoke, even though nobody was smoking a cigarette. It didn't matter.
We used to meet at your spot because that was the place to meet on Friday. I remember because I used to go get my hair cut. So I'd go get my little hair done when it was short. And then we'd meet at your place and it was karaoke time.
After that. Margo, you remember that spot?
I do.
Yeah, you do.
That was the spot where I remember where
that was the spot.
You drove.
You and Oli were rooming there.
Bonita at one point weren't.
That's
you?
What I'm saying. Bonita wasn't.
No, it wasn't me. It was Belinda and Oli.
Belinda.
They lived upstairs. I was. Okay. God knows where I was living. I don't know where I was living.
Okay. So.
Yeah, Belinda and Oli lived upstairs. I had the downstairs corner. Apartment.
Yep.
And I remember it, and I had a 1994 Ford Taurus, a tan Ford Taurus.
Yes, you did.
And I remember that building, I don't even know if it's still there or not, but to get to the building, you had to turn on this side and drive past the building to the back of the building where the parking lot was. And then you would go inside, and there was a little short, nasty, finger wandering, crazy old man that managed it, that if you had boobs, you were his favorite person.
Right.
That counted me out.
That managed the building that we lived there. Man, if that building is still standing, if it had a tongue and it could talk, I'd burn it down.
I could imagine the stories. Because I was staying off of 44th and McDallas Select Suites.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And Margo, where was your ghetto house at? I remember off of Indian School and 43rd Avenue or
No. I lived two places. I lived they were both off of Indian School. 71st Avenue and Indian School.
Okay.
That was my first house. And then when I left there, I moved to 91st Avenue in Indian School.
Well, wait a
minute.
And
that's the one with the orange table. That's the one with the orange tabletops. Remember that counter on there where you were talking about that round table?
Was the one with the where they shot my donut? That with the floor to ceiling windows. That was that house?
That was that house on 91st off Indian School.
91st and Indian School. I knew it was somewhere off of Indian School, but that definitely was the hood back in the day. We didn't came up now.
Praise God. From whom all blessings flow.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even live in Phoenix anymore. And this is a huge deal for me. Like, I never thought that I would not be in Phoenix anymore. Mm. And I'm out here in Tempe. You can't get me to go back to Phoenix. I'm sorry. It's just.
Really?
I love where I live.
What about Peoria or Glendale? No, nothing.
See,
this is why we can't take mama nowhere. This is why we can't take you nowhere.
Because folks don't act right up there, Margo. I can't. I can't do no Peoria.
Fine.
My picture. No, they don't. I think my picture might be on a few poles up there. So I know I'm not welcome. I can't go back. And if you go to the QT, there was no DNA, so I can't go to the west side of town. I got to stay over here. So start fresh.
That is so wrong. I hate to wrap it up, but I mean we could just keep going on and on, but One of the things that really sticks out in my mind is actually a group of events, and they all centered around us being in a church. Anytime that we were together at church, we knew it was going to be a crazy time. And mom and I had our connection and our system that if she was singing and I was playing, I knew where she was going to go. And
yes,
and Oli would sit there and pretty much just predict. She'd be like, and 5, 4, 3, 2, there she goes.
I know you ain't talking, Mr. Tearing Up Walls.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know you ain't talking.
Hey, I've just proven the fact that churches need to have steel girding put in now. So
you ain't lying. Gosh.
But it was those magical moments that we had in church services that I think were just so amazing. And I don't want to leave everybody with the image that, you know, anytime that we were in church, it was a beautiful moment. No, we had some hail-filled moments. Yeah, in some of these churches, because I'm telling you, everyone that cried holy, holy, ain't saved.
Amen to that.
But
amen.
Those are one of the things that I could literally drive around this city and see where buildings still stand and know what happened in that building where we were all together at one time.
I wonder if that place is down there on 24th Street where I met you, Finley's.
No, it's gone. It's gone, and they built new subdivisions on there. And the only reason why I know that is because Finley's was located right across the street from where my dad had his burger restaurant.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Good food, too.
Yeah, where the burger restaurant was, and that's no longer there. It's now a Mexican food place. Then it went and became a Chinese food place. Then it became a Mexican food place. And then I'm sure by the end of the year, it'll be a DES office.
Not right now.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not a DES office.
They just pop up everywhere. You know what I mean? They turn in old Carl's Jr. buildings into DES offices these days. But one last question. How is everybody holding up through the whole shelter in place? Well, it's not really a shelter in place order anymore. It's more like just the pandemic and everything. How we're, Margo, you got this look on your face like, oh, hell.
You know what? It's... You know, all I can say is I'm breathing. And that's all I can really say. I never realized how much of a social butterfly that I was. I thought that, you know, I could be with people or not be with people until, you know, stuff got real.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was living by myself, you know, in the apartment, and then we got sent home. So we're working from home. And when I'm telling you, everybody in the complex that I was living in, they actually paid attention to the governor's orders and they didn't go outside. So there would be weeks that I wouldn't see anybody. And it's the most depressing thing, you know. And then at the time, there were other things happening as well. There was, you know, a couple of deaths in the family and, you know, so it was very difficult. You know, there's a couple of illnesses. I've moved back home and I'm with my dad now, and hopefully my sister will come home soon. You know, she had been ill, and she's been since February kind of between the hospital and her rehabilitation center so she can learn to walk again. But I'm home now and we're getting ready. Hopefully in the next 30 days, she'll be able to come home. I don't know. I'm just counting blessings is all.
Yeah.
Counting blessings and hoping we can all stay safe from this virus.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Mom, how is everything? How are you handling on your side with your 50-year marriage you got going on there?
See, now Jesus touching. it's a 7-year marriage. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord knows why he stays. Maybe it's that anklet I got on him as soon as he moves, he gets sapped. But we're not going to talk about that out loud. he's probably on the milk carton. Ah, somebody come get me. I've been kidnapped.
Help me, Jesus.
Yes, I am the complete opposite. I love being home. I think because I ride public transportation where I live, I don't ever want a car because everything is at my fingertip. And the truth be told, I don't like driving anymore. I just don't, you know. Now, my husband, that's another story. So we keep him in prayer.
Now, let me interrupt you real quick here, Mom. Let me interrupt you. So you no longer have the desire for that Lincoln Navigator?
No.
Oh, wow. Every time I see a Lincoln Navigator, I say, that's my mama's.
That cost was a little too great for me. So not worth that price. So I love being at home, and I think I do because of where we live now. Like, we came from a really bad place, you know, like briefly when my husband and I got together, it was the first year I thought like we were just going to be, I can't do this with you anymore. We lived in places where there were windows that were boarded up and there was no air. And was just crazy. We, you know, took some stuff from some other members and stuff just didn't go right. You know, people are people, and sometimes family, sometimes can be the worst. So God bless them, pray for them, and, you know, wish them the best. But I love working from home. I love the solitude here. I love the peace and the quiet, because when you're out there day in and day out, and I'm on that train and that bus, and I've got to deal with the hustle and bustle, getting out of my building at 3 o'clock to run across the street to catch a train at 3:03. And I mean, I'm flying across Princeton, Washington, risking my life every day just to get the train because I don't want to wait in the heat for anything else. This has been a blessing. But I do say this, I do have moments sometimes where I like, I don't go anywhere. I honestly don't. If it isn't for the neighbor upstairs who goes to the store once a week, I just don't. So for me, go out back, I sit out back, I pray, I cry, I sing, I do, you know, I mean, when it happens again, I know I'm going to have a whole new appreciation for a lot of stuff, though. It hit me the other day really hard when I was in the store, and you can't even go in the store without a mask. Like, whoever thought last year when we were just free out here and breathing and running around and having a good time. And now you look at people and they look at you and it's kind of like, well, do you have it? Don't get close to me. Don't do this. Everybody's spraying something somewhere and everything's being. So I'm not the social butterfly. And I'm okay with that right now. I'm really okay with it.
I've been, I think for the whole thing, I've been kind of like right down the middle of the whole thing, where there is a part of me that wants to be social. And then there's also a part of me that wants to remain on my little island. And the social part of me, and this is no surprise to you two, the social part of me was working, you know, able to be out there and working, like, you know, working down at the college and being creative, you know, as a camera operator for GCU or a camera operator for the Phoenix Suns. That's where my social interactions came in. And then every once in a while, the sporadic, you know, go and, you know, see a friend and their family or whatever. And then that's it. But other than that, I'm pretty much, you know, a homebody. So, and my numbers job, my day job is, you know, work from home anyway. So this wasn't that big of a adjustment for me when it, as far as like working from home, but it's really, this whole thing has really heightened my germophobia with this. You know, I don't want no one near me. I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want to, you know, 6 feet apart. Hell no. When it comes to Corey, 10, 12 feet apart. You know what I mean? Stay away. You know what I mean? If I'm not looking at you as wondering if you got it, I'm looking at you knowing you got it. That's the way that I'm looking at it right now. You know what I mean? And it's having a profound effect upon just, you know, just that aspect of me. If I as much soap that I bought to wash my hands, I bought equal parts hand lotion, because it's the Sahara Desert on these palms any given day, because I'm washing my hands all the time. You know, so it's been the opposite for me, where it's enhanced that germophobia. And but the other side of me, I still miss being able to embrace people, being able to hug people. And you guys talk about my bougie neighborhood, but my neighbors know how germophobic I am at times. And my old neighbors saw that my yard was getting out of hand, and they actually came over and mowed my yard for me.
Girl, now they are doing
You have some senior citizens cutting your yard.
He offered to come over, and he said, "Corey, I know that you are hunkered down real tight, so we're going to help you out. If you're uncomfortable coming out and doing it in your yard, just leave us an extension cord out and we'll do it." And he got up that 7 a.m. that morning and came out and did my yard for me.
And I hope you wipe the cord off if he touched it.
I didn't touch the part that he touched.
You don't know what all he touched.
I put a little itty bitty 12-inch piece just under the garage door, And that's what he plugged his equipment into. Margo, don't be.
Wait a minute. How old is this person that you had cutting your yard?
70 something.
Oh, you going to hell.
He offered. It was being neighborly.
Straight to hell.
Yeah, you took advantage of that poor senior citizen.
Straight to hell.
And the Lord saw it. You're going to hell. I'm just telling you that right now.
Dear Lord, please forgive him.
Yes, Jesus, please, Lord. Please
forgive him, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
He know not what he do.
Well, I don't agree on that, but yes, Lord.
Well, no, he knew. You're right. He know, Lord.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
If you say I'm going to hell, in the words of my mom, Bonita, I'll see you there. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the first Furloughed episode. Thank you so much. We will see you tomorrow night where I sit down with another group of my friends right here on Fat and Furlough on FatGuyRadioShow.com. Thank you for joining us again. My love to Mom. My love to Margo. I love you so much. We'll see you next time.
I love you guys.
Bye. I love you too.